Hello and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Robert Bound, and today we're spinning the globe to visit art exhibitions in Norway, the UK and Germany. And leading us on this worldwide tour is the art critic and curator Francesca Gavin. Welcome to the programme as ever.
Robert.
How are we? This is the first time we have darkened the same door together, I think, in 2017.
This is our first 2017
together. It's our maiden voyage.
I'm very excited. Ahoy, matey.
I kind of left a real, left a gap there, and I'm excited shaped gap there for you to fill. Thank you for doing it.
It's all right, it's my pleasure.
Okay, should we set sail to Oslo first?
Yes.
Myths of the Marble.
It's
sounds
a good
like
name.
A sequel to a not very good film. In fact, we're in the realm of the virtual here. We're going somewhere completely different. Talk us through this one, Francesca.
Well, I'm really excited by the whole like Oslo art scene and things coming out of Norway at the moment. There's some really great museum shows out there. And I met a great curator, Milena Hugsberg. I probably spelled her name wrong, said her name wrong, who's curated the show, which is really fascinating, which is looking at basically the idea of what the virtual is and how you kind of represent, or how artists are representing our online experience and ideas of cybernetic theory and VR and animation. And I think it looks really interesting show. And this is at a space that I hadn't heard of before with a kind of crazy name.
Shall I tell you what it is?
It's the Heine
Onsted Kunstcenter.
Thank you.
But Center, Center.
Yes, and it's got a really
it's
great like
fox you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like got a Kirchfitters and Fluxus collection as a main thing. But it seems to be it's a really interesting like contemporary art space. But what I really like about Milena's curation, she seems to have included a lot of mirroring, a lot of kind of sculptural elements. So you really have this sense of like something very physical when you're describing something very virtual. And I think that's a really nice combination of things.
And possibly the virtual needs to be summed up with a physical in order to understand it, because it's still for artists, I say even for artists, maybe especially for artists used to working in the physical, used to producing a thing, something that is that slips through the fingers, isn't it? The virtual by its very nature is that. How do these artists, because this is a group show, isn't it?
This is a group.
How do they tackle the virtual? What do we see? What do we hold in our hands or hold before our eyes?
I mean, aside from the obvious things like video works, and there's things like Susan Winterling, there's also like amazing like pink light installation things. But then you have something like Rachel Juda, who's a Dutch artist. I think she's based partly in Berlin. She's represented by galleries in Berlin. She's made these almost like totemic plastic plasticine cutout sculptures. So you have something that's sort of almost like a cutout idea of a 2D image, but it's physical and chunky. There's things that seem to be playing around with the idea of the solidity of stone, which I find very interesting in terms of representation.
The myths of the marble, right?
Yes, exactly. There is like a marble-ish. And I find really, I'm really interested in the idea of like archiving our relationship to something so transitory.
Yeah.
And maybe in a way, artists even approaching how do you describe what the virtual is a kind of sort of archaeologist kind of process. You're kind of grasping something that's sort of disappearing in your fingers.
There is something fascinating about this, the internet, the virtual, all these things. I mean, there are artists like Corey Archangel who sort of famously have riffed on this, and it's their kind of meat and drink and stuff. But what do you think the sort of health of contemporary art's relationship with the virtual and with technology is? Because I always feel that they should be defining it more for us. Or do you feel as a curator, actually, that you are capable of throwing a net over art's relationship with tech and the now and the contemporary and the near future?
Well, I think it gets really interesting when you're not looking at things purely from a marketplace point of view. So Instagram is a very commodified relationship to the visual, one I'm totally addicted to, I might add. But the idea of that kind of, this is a 2D object. So what I find really interesting when you're looking at something within an exhibition context is where you get this idea of something that's given shape and given more depth. And I mean that both in like a physical as well as a conceptual way, because technology is one of the most central things to, I would say, and let's say 40% of the world's experience, this idea of how we relate to our phones and our daily work experience. I mean, you just have to get on public transport in Western Europe somewhere and you can see what our relationship to technology is.
You don't see a lot of people's faces anymore. You see a lot of the tops of people's heads.
I know. People in bar, they've all developed like weird swipe elbow and strange neck problems. Even in
well,
bars.
Ask you what happened happened to your foot later on in
the
programme.
Yes, my foot.
I feel that we could talk about Myths of the Marble and the conversations that flow thereof for the rest of the programme, but we can't do that, Francesca.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But shall we let our listeners know where to go? It's at the Heini Onstad Kunstcenter in Oslo. It kicked off on the 3rd of February. It closes on the 2nd of April. Next, we're going to a more familiar name. Dear Wolfgang Tillmans is on at the Tate Modern. Tell us something we don't know about this cat.
That's a hard idea. I mean, I'm a giant Wolfgang Tillmans fan. I would argue, who isn't? I don't know if I've ever met anyone who doesn't like Wolfgang Tillmans' work and his approach to the photographic medium, which is incredibly good with photography, but also for me, like, really surpasses his medium into like examples of how you approach art and what art is. And this exhibition is not a retrospective. It's really focusing on the past like 20 years, 15 years worth of work. A lot of political elements within that, a lot of more recent series. And with Tillmans, you're always going to get incredible installs. I think he's probably the best person out there at the moment working with how you make 2D things look incredible.
Well, this is really interesting. Okay, that's a really interesting point. And this is, and with your curatorial hat on, Francesca, tell us about that. That is a very specific thing to draw out his talent for, actually.
It's incredible.
As installing a show. So this is a survey show, I suppose. This is a mid-career retrospective, whatever you call it.
Recent projects.
Here's some stuff I've recently done, yeah, said
exactly.
Wolfgang, and everyone, all right. But what do you mean when you say he's great at installing? How might the layman interpret what you mean?
Well, here's a perfect example. A normal photographic exhibition, you're going to get a print in a frame on a wall. With Wolfgang Tillmans, you get tables with things presented almost like a collage within it. You get images unframed, held with pins and tape to a wall. Sometimes you get layering, a variety of scale, much more. So it's almost like, it's like pushing the whole concept of a salon hang in a really kind of scrapbooky way. And you find that the different sizes he approaches, they can be like hyperhuman, really big, like a weed in the street turned into a, like a giant as big
as a
building.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's something incredibly emotional about the work. Or you get something like, he does a lot of political protest imagery. And that's something that's been interspersed almost as like a contextual basis for his more art images in that sense. So he'll do those on like small 3x4 little like throwaway photograph sizes placed around something framed. And there's portraiture intertwined. There's a real sense of like a variety of the subject matter of what photography can be. But for me, it's all kind of held together with this really unusual eye, which is very, very considered. I mean, it feels really German. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. This kind of German fetish. They're great with stationery. The best sharpener I have on the face of the earth is definitely German. They do good tape.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. But I think that's part of what makes going to an exhibition of his work so interesting is the experiential level of like trying to push how we actually look at photography.
Am I right in thinking that the Elton John collection is still on show at the Tate Modern?
The Radical Eye, I think.
So
that exhibition
this is very much the cat. You know, he's got obviously Elton John has one of the greatest photography collections in the world, and this is very much his view is very much the canon of photography. What is it like flitting from one of these shows to the other? I wonder. What do you think?
I would imagine sort of looking at kind of history and the contemporary. Even though Wolfgang's obviously been working since, let's say, the mid '90s, publicly, until now, which is 20 years. It's quite a lot. Compared to like the stuff you're getting in the Elton John collection is like the big, hard, silver, gelatin print, 1930s, 1920s, 1940s, one-off kind of early days of experimentation. I think the thing that links the two is this kind of striving for the experimentation of how you present an image and what an image can be, and its relationship to objects. I mean, I'm a big fan of Tillmans's abstract pieces where he's like taking photographs of photographic paper and that kind of thing. It's like a real twist of looking within on the medium. So it's very much like how a painter discusses their own process and like rethinks how they work with the idea of paint. With Tillmans, he's like looking
at
purely
abstract photography and letting the fibre of the thing kind of talk for itself.
And it elevates his subject matter into something much more than necessarily we look at photographic imagery in such a different way from the beginning of his career to we do now. I mean, it's such a different, everyone's taking photographs on their phone, and what that's done to the photographic image is really different. But I think an exhibition of Wolfgang definitely champions the importance and the idea of an exhibition as a space to look at photography.
Power to him, Wolfgang Tillmans. He's on At the Tate Modern, kicks off on the 15th of Feb until the 11th of June. Plenty of time to see that one. And possibly, who knows, juxtapose it with the fine Elton John collection on at the same time.
And the
same
Parano as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's all going on. Where are you taking us last? Omer Fass. We're going Omer Fast. Talk us through your final choice, Francesca.
Well, Omer Fass, he's a Berlin-based artist. He's originally Israeli, brought up in New York. He's best known for doing video work and film works. He did his first feature film a few years ago, which was based on a Tom McCarthy novel. This is his, like, big first solo show in Berlin, even though
he's
based there.
And this is at Martin Gropius. This is proper place. This is big
Deal.
Yeah,
it's an incredible Victorian building. I've seen really good shows. Tina Segal shows there. Isa Genskin shows. It's kind of like, there's a Jürgen Teller show coming up in April. It's very much kind of a hard-hitting, big German name kind of place.
Okay.
But it's really, really beautiful. It's quite an open space in the centre. But there's a piece in here from 2002 called CNN Concatenated, which for me is one of the best video works you'll ever see. And it became almost like a trope for YouTube, like, memes. He basically created a film where he cut up people talking on CNN, and every single newsreader says a different word, and they're saying, basically talking about, like, the hell of their own media. Yeah. It's basically deconstructing our relationship to media, and I think that's the thing that really holds Omer's work together. But if nothing else, that 2002
piece. That is your take-home piece.
You will never forget it. It's incredibly good.
It sounds like one of those things that's such a good idea. Every artist wished they'd done it, of course, in a kind of hyper sort of media-related piece as well. What's his normal kind of bag? Is this kind of indicative of his larger practice?
Well, I think the ideas behind it, this idea of looking at representation on film and how we form concepts of the reality around us is Omer Fast. So deconstructing the media and the news is a perfect beginning point. Visually, that really changed over the past 15 years of his career. So you got things where he was like interviewing Steven Spielberg's extras from Krakow who were featured in Schindler's List. So it's very much like the representation of something.
Yeah.
Or I think there's going to be a new film in the show, which is a 3D film about August Sander.
Right.
So it's very much like deconstructing how we view the world through the sort of filmic, the photographic, the kind of the medium. But it's done in kind of often slower ways. It's not always as pop tasty as the CNN work.
I love it. I feel like he's kind of like the sort of contemporary art version of W.G. Sebald or some sort of slightly obscure kind of hyperbolic sort of German author or something. Somewhere where you go on a real journey with and you come back full circle.
And some of the work can have like a slowness to it that takes time. It's work that actually does involve time. It's not short, easy, oh yeah, I've seen it for 5 seconds. Sometimes there's a lot of narrative built in the work that he does. And I think what's good about someone like Martin Gropius Bau, it's a space where you kind of want to linger.
Mm.
And I'm sure the installation will really reflect that, this idea of watching film. I mean, it's a hard thing to do a show centered around a video artist that's engaging.
Yeah.
You've got to really work at it.
Otherwise, there is another thing. Presumably that is another question about the installation, the way that a show is paced. Because it's tough. It requires concentration. It requires a lot of the audience, doesn't it?
Completely. And when it's done well, video work can be incredible. You just need really good exhibition design.
Yeah.
And things like sound and sound clash. But the way Martin Gropius Bau's done, it's almost like a central atrium with rooms off of it. So I'm sure there's loads of way there won't be, like, I don't imagine a lot of sound clash.
Okay.
There will be lots of space to sit and watch. But sometimes it's a bit like going to the cinema. We can spend 2 hours sitting in front of a film, and we'd feel totally comfortable with that. So I think taking that mindset and going within an exhibition space, Omer Fass is a good artist to kind of spend a couple of hours and watch like a movie.
It sounds like tantalising stuff. It sounds like deep and meaningful stuff. It's Omer Fass. It's at the Martin Gropius Bau until the 12th of March. Before that, we've talked about Wolfgang Tillmans. He's at Tate Modern. That's until the 11th of June 2017. We kicked off, though, talking about Myths of the Marble, ways of talking about the virtual. That's in Oslo at the Heine Onstad Kunstcenter. That's on until the 2nd of April 2017. That is it, Francesca Gavin. Thank you so much indeed.
Totally. totally my pleasure.
As ever, for at least our maiden voyage together on the waters.
I'm looking forward to many, many more.
You have been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. The show is produced by Fernanda Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our music review. But the time being, for me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in.